Well, good morning out there in Radio Land. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that anything is possible because we serve a God of the impossible. It is October the 9th, 2024, and oh, what a day it is to be alive in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A lot going on. A lot of prayers to be had for all those still suffering from Hurricane Helene and that coming up. I'm going to throw a curveball at Hannah. Our fellowship hall is completely flooded right now, and so I'm going to have to get back over there for that first part, Hannah. So Hannah's going to take over with announcements and welcoming, and I guess as much as Romans as you can cover. I will be back as soon as I possibly can. We've been working there all morning, and so pray for us. And if you got any air movers, I would sure love to borrow one. And so, but Hannah, you got it for a little while, right?
Yeah. All right. If I need to, go to Kingdom Corner early before you get back. Wow. Okay. Well, today again is Wednesday, October 9th. Happy to be back with you guys this morning. And then let's see. I'm trying to see if there's any new announcements. Now, I know that we have a few still on here on the app. And if you all have any new announcements, I know it's fall time, October, so there's a lot of events that normally come up around this time. I know that November 2nd, that time, there is that women's conference going on in Camp Joy, at Camp Joy around Brownsville area. So just reminding about that. I can't remember when the registration deadline is, so let me find that for you guys if anybody has been looking into that. And Lesson Downs will be there. She'll be leading worship throughout that weekend because it's more of like a retreat. And so I was trying to find my picture that had the information for that, but I can't find it right now at the moment. But there is that coming up. You can find that if you go to Camp Joy on Facebook, or even if you go to Lesson Down, she has shared it as well. And then we also have the BCA Chili Cook-Off coming up. We really need, if anybody out there just has something they would like to donate, something maybe we have a lot of people who, you know, create, who make things, who do woodwork, quilting, whatever is your zone, your area of expertise. We would love and appreciate anyone to share their talent and donate items that you've made. And it doesn't have to be items that you've made, but those are always, you know, go over well for the auction that we do on the Chili Cook-Off. But we just need items for that auction. So we need items, you know, baskets, gift baskets. People do that a lot. People do gift certificates. We've had people do gift certificates for services, hair cutting services, different services from different businesses. And so anything like that would be appreciated. Just to have, the more items we have to auction off, the better it's going to go. The longer it'll be able to be drawn out a little bit for that night. And so if you have any questions about that, or maybe you don't have anything to offer for the auction, but you know of somebody, or you can mention the Chili Cook-Off on October 26th to somebody and mention that it's for BCA. So normally in the past, I don't think they've ever done the fundraiser of the Chili Cook-Off for BCA. It's always been for a different part of the ministry. But this time, we're excited to be able to do this for, I know everybody's excited that BCA gets to be the one, actually they're always the one that hosts it because we have it in the gym of the school, but now it's able to support them. So if you have any questions about the BCA Cook-Off, if you have any ideas, if you want to donate anything, or you just know of someone who would like, a business or a person who would like to donate, then you can contact us if you have any questions about that at 270-257-2689. So it's going to be a great time. The chili is always amazing. Last year, I believe Katie Newton won, and Jacob Swift, he placed in one of the categories too. and their chili was very good, very good. So there's always like a spicy, a mild, and a like a mild, a medium, and a spicy, something like that. So I think there's three winners, but it's always a great time. And again, that is October 26th on, that's a Saturday at 5:30 is what I have down. The time might be off a little bit on that. So let me check real quick here. I have, sometimes on the app, when I first get the announcements, I just put, you know, whatever time it has me put. Let's see here. Chili cook-off. Here we go. So it's actually at 5 Central Time. So it will start at 5. And the entry fee for ages 6 to 12 is $6. And then 13 and up is $8. So there's always the little entry fee just to cover. I mean, it's for fundraising, but, you know, for to get your meal, you get, you know, chili, as much chili as you want, really, as long as there's enough to go around. And it's really, really just a good time. There's games that you can do that are set up, and it's just always a fun time. And everybody who comes together works so hard on it. So again, there's a chili contest. There's a live and silent auction. There's food, games, and it's for all ages and a great time for the family to spend together. So that's there at the Bethel Gym, basketball gym, at 5 o'clock on October 26th, and that's Central Time. So we would love for you all to come out and join us. Any of our Box 2 family that, you know, comes on special occasions, come out and join us. It'll be a great time of fellowship. So our next event that we had already on our app was the performance at the Alice Theater. So that's there in Litchfield, and it'll be more of like a, you know, all the songs are Christian. Their Lesson Downs has put together a lot of her original songs, and she is going to do a whole night, and that is going to start. It's going to be October 17th. It's going to start at 6 p.m. and it will be live. There are tickets are available. And the evening is going to be filmed also. So the whole performance is going to be filmed, and someone is going to be working on making that into like a documentary type movie. So that's really neat. And so her testimony, I'm sure, will be thrown in there. And it's just going to be a great night. I'm actually going to be singing backup vocals for her, and she's going to have a whole band and backup singers, and there will be lights, and that the place is just beautiful. So if you're interested, if you've heard her come on with us, I'm sure you will probably hear from her on here before this event takes place. You heard her in Share-a-thon if you tuned in with us. But we love her testimony and just what she's doing for the kingdom through her music. So if you're interested in coming to that, there's tickets for that to support her and her mission that God's called her to. And that is on 613 South Main Street, Litchfield, right there on the square. It's right there on the square. You can't miss it. And then also there will be several people, you may recognize on, the instruments that are with her. And so again, that will be 6 p.m. October 17th. There is a link on our app to get these tickets. So, you can get on this app, or you can go to her Facebook, Less and Downs, and find tickets there. So that's all the announcements that we have so far. If anybody has any announcements, anything with your church, anything with the community that would be good to get out there, make sure to, you can text me at 270-589-7933. Or throughout, you know, after the broadcast is over, you can always contact us at 270-257-2689. So this morning, that's all that we have for announcements, events coming up. So we are in, I believe, Romans verse 3 in chapter 6. I don't want to go too fast because we'll probably end up, you know, slowing down a little bit because Aaron wants to kind of recap some of the things that we talked about before the big break. I'm going to start in verse 3 and try not to go too fast. But if you guys have any input, anything to chime in on this Bible study, any questions or comments, please feel free to text me 270-589-7933. Or if you already have my number, of course, go ahead and text me your input on that. So chapter 6, verse 3, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So not only were we baptized into Jesus, but because we were baptized into Jesus, we were baptized into his death. And I think this is something all of us as Christians, we really have to get a grip on, that our old man has passed away and our new man is truly alive in Christ. And that's the thing, is he paid the price that we deserve to pay, because he was the perfect atonement. And so this is baptism in him, is being fully immersed in Jesus. That's what the symbolism of baptism is all about, the spiritual aspect of it. And not just like water baptism. I believe this didn't specifically say, water baptism. And I believe that it is talking about the baptism, the spiritual baptism that is happening whenever we join as one with Christ. Whenever he comes to live inside of us, we have accepted him, accepted the gift of his love and received salvation from him. We've become born again. When we're born again, it's like the baptism and the born again is connected, because we're born into his nature. And that's just amazing to think about. And so I have some study notes here that could talk about this a little bit, and we can see what we think about it. But, my study notes say that baptism joins the believer to Christ. This is a reference to the work of the Holy Spirit at salvation. References 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. Water baptism symbolizes this union. It separates the believer from his old life and identifies him in resurrection with new life in Christ. In this chapter, Paul will dwell on baptism's profound practical significance when he says, "Into his death, we were identified with all Christ accomplished. His death forever broke sin's control over us." Hallelujah. That's really good news. It's so much weight in his death. His death wasn't I think sometimes we think about our old man passing away as like a negative thing, like, oh, well, I lost all those memories. And we think about like everything we lost, like people we've lost, maybe things that we gave up for Christ's sake. But I think if we aren't thinking spiritually, if we're still thinking in a carnal mindset, then we forget the power that was in Christ's sacrifice in his death. I love what it says here, that we are identified as his people with all that he accomplished, which is not, we don't deserve that. We don't deserve to reap from the blessings and be identified, be covered by his blood, by his accomplishment on the cross, even though we didn't go through any of it. But I do believe that that's why whenever we are born into the kingdom, that is why we do go through things. That's why, you know, Jesus warns us that, you know, they hated me first, so they will hate you. They hate you because they hated me first, basically. And warns us of the persecution and the life that will cost us as a disciple. But still, it's nothing compared to what we can't even compare to what he did. We will never be able to repay him for what he paid for us. But the only thing that we can do out of a response of worship is give our life to him and surrender. And that's, it can be hard because we have those two natures fighting against each other. So very rich stuff there in verses 4, 3 and 4. And there's just so much there. It talks about our old man. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So that means the old man should be passed away. The new man should, we should be walking in. And when it says we also should walk in the newness of life, we should live our everyday lives manifesting resurrection life free from sin's control. So we should be walking proof of Christ's resurrection. And I mean, if it isn't enough that we're, you know, alive, that's, everybody has received blessings from Christ's resurrection, even people that, you know, the common grace, the grace that everybody benefits from because of just his gift of life, of us having life. But not only that, those of us who have been bought by his blood, I love what this is saying, is that we should be walking around and people should be able to see the miracle and the evidence of that resurrection power in our life. And how is that? By us walking differently. There has to be a difference. There has to be change. I think that's the easiest way to explain, not that we can fully explain, but the easiest way to unpack and define what Jesus does for us is the fact that we were once one way. We once were under sin, shame, walking in it, and then now we are different. I mean, there's so many songs about that. My brain thinks in songs. There's so many scriptures, so many songs about this. There's one, I believe it's Micah Tyler is his name, and it's Walking Free. And now I'm walking free. Death and sin, something like that, has lost its grip on me. When mercy called my name, the chains fell out at my feet. Now I'm walking free. And I mean, that's just one newer song, but there's, I mean, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone, I've Been Set Free. Like, all of these songs are about the fact that we were once held captive, we are now free, we're different. That people should see that difference in us. And I think that's what sets it apart, because people that are still walking in that darkness, there's all similarities in the darkness. If you notice, the darkness wants everybody to kind of act the same, feel the same. It's just this heaviness. And when you're out of that, and when you taste freedom, I believe that's what this is talking about. Like, Christ was raised up. Like, he was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we should also walk in that newness of life. Verse 4. So, like, that same glory can rest upon us. We can walk in it. And I think sometimes we don't we set the bar too low, and we think that, well, that was just those guys in the Bible. But it's possible, and you can tell. The joy of the Lord and the glory of the Lord is so radiant. It is so, it's like magnetic. It draws you to someone. Even if you can think back before you were saved, you probably can think back to people who maybe you didn't know that they were a believer, but they were. And now you can look back and see that they were born again by their joy, by their kindness, their love, all the fruit of the Spirit that just draws you to those people. A lot of people's grandparents that have prayed them in to the kingdom. I mean, why do we love our grandparents so much? It's not that not every family loves their grandparents, but I would say the most, a lot of people that have praying grandparents and Spirit-filled grandparents, I mean, they just love being around them. They love being at their house. And it's not just grandparents. I'm just using them as an example. But there's something that draws us to those people because Jesus is in them. I mean, that's the simplest way to explain it. But in Jesus is light, is truth, is comfort, is peace, is all of these fruit of the Spirit. And that's why. And I think I forget that sometimes. Somebody was talking to me about how they were sent on a little mission and that they didn't really want to go on. The Holy Spirit was leading them to have conversation and, you know, do some things, be kind and reach out to someone who didn't have him. And, they were talking and they just couldn't relate on something they were talking about. And the one person said, thought to themselves, like, well, I've never dealt with that. And then the Lord just reminded them, you're not dealing with that because you have me. You have my presence. That is why you're not, your experience might be the same. You might be in the same place at the same time every day, but you have me. So that's what makes your experience so much different. And that's what the Lord was reminding this person. And that really just spoke to me the other day, because I think we forget sometimes when we are in that carnal mindset, we just think, well, I can't really relate to that because I don't deal with that. But when we have Jesus, that's why we're not depressed. That's why we're not hopeless. That's why we're not going through these things that so many people in the world are going through. And we have the answer. It's just sometimes we don't give them the answer. Sometimes we expect them to just already know. We think that they should already know these things. But sometimes it just takes us being the hands and feet of Jesus, not just talking the talk, but showing them, showing the action. And I think that's what verse 4 here is talking about, is not just talking the talk, not just proclaiming Jesus, but it says we also should walk in newness of life. So walking in something means we have to move. We have to get out of the place that we're at and keep moving forward. And I mean, that's just simple terms, but it is so true. And I think sometimes we justify our complacency, our standing still in our relationship with the Lord. But here, I mean, if we really are going to be live by the word and be doers of the word and not just hearers, then that means that we have to do what these verses are saying. And by these verses saying we should walk in newness of life, that means we should be always moving forward, because truly walking is moving. It's movement. It's moving forward with the Lord, moving really just wherever he wants us to be, wherever he wants us to go. So I really don't want to go much farther past there because we're going to have to go back anyways. Because I know Aaron's going to want to cover that. But let us pray real quick before I possibly go into Kingdom Corner, because it's about time for when we go to the break. I normally come back to Kingdom Corner anyways. But let's pray for this flooding situation. I'm not sure how this happened, but they're needing some equipment to help them clean this mess up. And so if anybody's listening right now, I haven't caught any text messages yet this morning, but join me in prayer. I know the Lord's with me. but whoever's listening out there, just join us in prayer that the Lord would help them take care of this issue, this flooding in the building over there. So, Lord, we just lift up right now Pastor Aaron and Brother Tim and anyone else who is helping over there at the building. And Lord, we just pray right now that you would bring in what the supplies that are necessary, God, that they would be able to get this this mess cleaned up, and that whatever started this, Lord, that you would show them how to avoid this again, and Lord, that this would not be a continuing issue, but this would be a one-time issue that's resolved. And Lord, just help them as they're trying to figure out how to get all of this cleaned up. And we thank you for your provision. We thank you for everything that you've given us here. And so we just ask right now, Lord, that you would intervene, that you would help them to get it all cleaned. If anybody has anything to dry the water up, any equipment, Lord, I pray that they would get connected with Pastor Aaron and Brother Tim, Lord. And we just thank you that you're with them, that you know, things are bad and stressful, but they could always be worse. And it just reminds me, you know, the fact that it's flooding over there, it just reminds me to also, Lord, we lift up the victims of the natural flooding that has been going on in Tampa and North Carolina and Tennessee and all of these areas, Lord, that have been hit so hard in that line of just that direct path of destruction, Lord. And we just pray right now, God, that you would continue to send the funds in to rescue these people. But also, Lord, that you would be able to use this. What the enemy intends for evil, Lord, you have a plan and you use it for your purposes. You use it for good. And Lord, I just pray that the people who maybe you have a plan for them to move out of that area, maybe you're calling them somewhere, Lord, that this would be the time that they answer your call and that they would be able to move, that you would open up doors for them, new jobs for them, Lord, and that you would just be with them, God. And also for all of the workers, the first responders, Lord, we just pray that you would be with them, that you would help them to find the people that need help, and also the ones grieving their lost family members. Lord, we just pray that you would comfort them, that you would draw near to them, and that there would be a revival, a breakout of your spirit, and a closeness that people draw to you through these terrible, tragic natural disasters, Lord. And we thank you for what you've already done, and we just ask you to continue to send help in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's do our first trivia question of the morning here. What nationality, question number one for this Wednesday morning, what nationality was Timothy's father? What nationality was Timothy's father? 270-257-2689 is the number to call. You can get your name in twice for every 2-week period. We are going to be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.
All right, we are back here. Did we get an answer for that trivia question?
Yes, we did. Freeman Detweiler was the answer. He wasn't the answer. He got the answer. Greek was the nationality that Timothy's father was. So it's good to hear from Brother Freeman. Has been a little while, but it's really good to hear from him this morning.
Awesome, awesome. So thank you all for calling in and getting that, and thank you for a few listeners that have texted in, so that I know that people are listening. I know that a lot of people listen, just not everybody is able to text in the mornings, but yes, so we are going to go right into Kingdom Corner right now. And so I'm in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. And here it's the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is saying, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you would want them to treat you. So, golden rule there. That's where we get the golden rule from. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is narrow and the way is constricted that leads to life, and there are few who find it. And so this is a very familiar piece of scripture, but I was reading in it and thinking about it. I think the Sermon on the Mount is really important to go back through and just let it soak in and evaluate how we're living it out in our life. And so this verse, I believe it definitely. I mean, the most times that you probably hear this preached is talking about eternal life. So, you know, it says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. So, you know, most of the time we're thinking about and talking about there, hell, you know, the everlasting destruction. And then when it talks about life, we think about heaven. And which is very true, that's true there. But I think that there's more to this as well, as far as applying it to our lives and living out that word. And so I believe that Jesus here is also speaking of the quality of our Christian life. So in this context, Jesus is giving the way to live a peaceful and joyful life. By treating others the way we want to be treated, we are holding ourselves to the higher standard. So he teaches that theme over and over again throughout scripture, that, you know, remove the speck out of your own eye before trying to remove the plank, or remove the plank out of your own eye before trying to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. So it's always putting the demand back on oneself and holding oneself to the higher standard. That's what Jesus teaches us to do. Because, and he didn't just teach, he actually lived it out, because we see he held himself to the higher standard. He took the narrow, harder path in order to show his love and, I mean, destroy sin for the betterment of other of the people that he loved and that he came to save. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and he did not come into the world to condemn it, but to save it. And from this destruction that it's talking about. So through him taking that hard path, through him doing the things that his flesh didn't want to do, we see, he says, if any way possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, let your will be done, not mine. So he not only teaches us this, he walks it out and he lived it. And so I believe that part of this narrow gate, part of this way that is constricted, it's narrow, that leads to life, it is talking about abundant life. Because I don't believe that these teachings of Jesus are, we're just sitting around waiting for them to happen until we get to heaven. I believe we can start experiencing that, the life that's on that narrow road now. And so going with that, you know, he's giving us the keys to living in this joy, living in the peace, living in really just having wisdom in this life. So, and this is, I mean, everybody knows the golden rule, treat others the way that you'd want to be treated. But how often do we do that? How often do we hold ourselves to the higher standard? I know it's not natural for me. My sin nature, now it's natural for my spirit. And the more that I feed my spirit, the word, the more that I feed my spirit, worship, music, music that's exalting Jesus, whatever I'm feeding in that is building up, edifying my spirit, I'm more likely to do this. But the temptation, the desires of the flesh does not want to treat others the way that I would want to be treated. It wants to treat them the way that I think they deserve to be treated. And that's for most of us. I mean, we see that with kids. You know, most of the time, kids are going to lash out in anger. But I think sometimes we forget ways that we lash out, not just in anger, but bitterness. If we think that somebody deserves to be treated a certain way, then we treat them that way. We speak to them a certain way. We treat them differently than we treat others. And really, I don't see here any exception for, well, treat these people the way that you'd want to be treated. No, it's even, you know, we know the what the word says about loving our enemies, and it's hard. It's really hard. But in those hard things, and in that narrow way, that's where I see the most growth come from. I see the most breakthrough come from obedience to the hard and narrow way. I think about the narrow way as like these scriptures that are very opposite to our culture. That's why it's narrow. It's because most people are not going to be, they're going to be quoting this word, but they're not going to be living it. They're not going to be actually doing it. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to do it. And I think religion teaches us to just know it, to be able to quote it, recite it, maybe do it in front of our certain people, but then live however we want to live outside of that. And, you know, boast about the things that we do, right? The boast about the verses that we do live out, but then sweep under the rug all the ones that we're not. And I'm not saying that we're not going to struggle with any of these, because we definitely are. But having the right heart, the right mindset behind it, and the pursuit to say, it's not enough for me to just know this. I want to start letting the Lord help me actually walk this out one by one. And that's how I've noticed with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't put everything, he doesn't overwhelm in this. He doesn't make things heavy or he doesn't throw everything on you and make it a heavy burden, because Jesus tells us his burden is light. But it's because when we're surrendered to him, we cast our cares upon him. He's carrying the heavy weight. We're surrendering. But when we resist, that's when it starts to feel harder. But with that narrow gate, few people find it. And we see that even in the church, that not everybody in the church, not everybody who is saved now, has peace. Why is that? Why do the people that have Jesus not have peace? And I'm not saying, I mean, there's definitely Jesus people that have peace and that live in peace consistently. But I didn't have peace the whole time. Like, I had peace when I became born again, but there was a long season of my walk that I didn't have peace consistently. And why is that? Why are there so many that don't have that peace, that don't have that quality of life? And I believe it's because few people choose to stay on that narrow road. Or, you know, they're on the narrow road, but they choose to get off, to keep getting off and keep going back to that wide road and then coming back. And I mean, I'm thankful that the Lord, he is faithful, and he's rich in mercy. And I'm so thankful that he has drawn me and redirected me off of the wide path. But it's an issue in the church, because there's people who don't have that consistent joy, who don't have that consistent peace, who aren't living an abundant life, but they've accepted Christ all these years ago. And that was something that, you know, we can accept the gift, but if we just leave it, we push the gift aside, and then we just go back, then did we really receive the gift? You know, are we living and walking in that gift? And so I believe that's why there's so much strife, there's so much confusion, there's so much chaos. And that's why few find the way to peaceful living. And then those same people live by statements that Jesus made. So the statements about, you know, wide is the path that leads to destruction. They're the ones that are living in the chaos. They're on the wide. And so there's verses to live by. There's things that Jesus teaches us. And one thing that all of those have in common is abiding in Jesus, being connected to the true vine. When we get off course, when we go back to the wide path, when we start to blend in with the world again, we aren't abiding in him. And what does he say? He says, you must remain in me and I in you to be able to produce fruit. And fruit isn't just about like works. I believe fruit is having peace, like fruit of the spirit. It's what it's called, like having these things in our life, having a abundant life where we actually enjoy our life. We enjoy people. We love people. We don't want to hide from people unless we're like tired or something. I mean, we can't always be around people, but like in general, just wanting to like be isolated. Like that's not Jesus. Jesus was never, he teaches us a balanced life on how, you know, we need boundaries. We need to be able to break away and go pray. And, if we don't, then we're going to burn out. But like, we can't live in a place of just not liking people and have fruit of the spirit. That's not in the Bible. So there's so many things, but we can't go wrong staying in his presence, because we will always live that fruitful life connected to him. And so in this verse where it talks about, in the King James Version, at least, oh, sorry, not King James, the NASB version, that's very word for word from the Greek. It says, it uses the word constricted. So for the gate is narrow, so the least of life, and the way is constricted. So when I think of constricted, I think of like the snake that like constricts its prey, but I just wanted to look up like definition for it. And whenever I looked that up, it said made narrow by encircling pressure. So by the encircling pressure, that's how it's made narrow. And I know earlier I talked about how the narrow road, it is, you know, it's leading to abundant life. And we talked about, how Jesus's yoke is easy, his burden is light. That's still true. The word never contradicts itself, but I believe when it just kind of made me think of a new, aspect to that narrow path. Whenever it said encircling, it's made narrow by the encircling pressure. And I think that's why Jesus's life is so, so much of a guide and a testimony for us, is because we might not ever face the extent of what he faced, as far as losing, as far as going through the torture, the pain, the suffering in the same way that he did. But I believe that that pressure, that word constricted that they used, I think it's because there is pressure that comes along with being on the narrow path, because there's going to be pressure that comes from the world, because it's so, that path is so opposite of the world, that there's pressure, there's persecution, there's hate. I mean, Jesus talks about all these things that come against us whenever we truly take up our cross, follow him, die to ourselves, love not our life unto death. Like, there's pressure that comes along with that. But the good thing is that, you know, those of us who know how the kingdom works, anytime there's pressure and we're on that narrow, the narrow gate, going through the narrow gate, there's always going to be more strength that comes out of it. You know, the word talks about how through suffering, through trials, it produces steadfastness to continue the race that's set before us, as Paul talks about. So the pressure is actually a good thing, but it doesn't always feel good. So that's why the way is narrow also, because the flesh wants to seek things that make us feel good, not things that make us, that maybe cut on us or make us feel uncomfortable, or, you know, whatever it is. Maybe it just truly hurts because we have loss. We have to cut ties that, you know, emotionally hurt us. Whatever it is, there's going to be pressure. There's going to be things that come against while we're on that path. But I just believe that it's the way to abundant life that is what he's talking about here too. I don't believe we just sit and just wait for the eternal life that we have in his presence after we pass from this earthly life. But I do believe that he's talking about just the way that we can have the abundant life now. So came back at a good time.
Amen. Amen. Well, we are booking right along this morning. Poor Hannah's had to, she got a feeling of what it's like for solo on this broadcast, and it's hard, ain't it? It's difficult. But I was listening a little bit. I'm sure you did a great job. And thank you for everybody who's praying and reaching out. I think we got to water the puddles up, and Brother Tim caught it early enough that it had a big chunk of the fellowship hall, the hallways, and into the youth sanctuary, but it wasn't flooding the whole downstairs yet. So we were able to get it sucked up, and now we're just needing some air movers. We got some fans and stuff going, but a couple air movers would be really nice right now. And so
any way that it started, or
We think a water line to the coffee pot, something inside the coffee pot, broke.
And busted.
So I don't know if it was a connection or something like that.
Uh-oh.
We'll have to open up the coffee pot and see. But it could have been a lot worse, so praise the Lord for that. And like I said, as long as we can get some air movers on it, I don't think there will be any major damage. Maybe lost some kickboards of cabinetry or something like that, but that's okay. So praise the Lord for Miss Betty and Mr. Tim, and who was really booking it, helping out this morning. Miss Betty was moving that broom quick. and so like I said, we got the puddles up. Now we're just needing some air movers, but God's good. Amen.
Amen.
All righty. Well, we are booking right along, as I've said. And again, good morning. I've not got to be on with you all really. I got to say good morning at the very early, but good morning to everybody, and it is a good day to be alive. And so whatever the enemy throws and whatever life throws, God is faithful and he is good. We need to continue to pray for those in Florida as they're preparing for a major hurricane again after just last week, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And so then they're predicting a possible one behind it, just flowing right behind it in the same path almost. That it's just the way the atmosphere is down there. There's some weathermen who are predicting that a model shows that another hurricane's going to follow Hurricane Milton right up, like same path almost. So we'll pray that definitely does not happen, because it's only so much Florida can take. And pray for those who are trying to evacuate. And I know they're having a lot of difficulty. I think one person moved 30 miles in 6 hours. So that's an equivalent to getting from Litchfield to Eatown in 6 hours. So that just tells you how fast traffic's not moving. And so any fans, I had a couple texts come in. Any fans would help. Anything helps, you know. But, yeah, it could have been a lot worse. And so we're just trying to get it dried out, and the crevices and the underneath the cabinetry and all that kind of stuff dried out now, so it doesn't become stale and moldy and
stinky.
So God's good. So Hannah, you've done your Kingdom Corner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have we started on the topics today whatsoever?
Mm-mm.
What was the topic we was talking about? I'm a little scattered this morning.
We were going to talk about the fear of the Lord. What the word has to say about that. Why we need,
that's a good one.
Why we need the fear of the Lord in our life, in the church.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you how scattered I am. I'm still in my pajamas and no shoes. and so so I have to get collected during this break and get geared in. I'm excited for our guest this morning. Brother Alonzo and Miss Deanna is going to come in at 8:30, and we're going to discuss some Puerto Rico. They'll be heading back there soon and going back on a longer-term mission trip. And so we're going to discuss that with them and what God's doing down there and some of the plans and some of their heartbeat behind what God's opened up and the doors he's opened up there in Puerto Rico. It is a near and dear place to our heart and becoming more near and dear all the time. I've not got to hear back from Todd Mingus yet because of our trip and then his trip. But I need to hear back from him on how the Honduras trip went for him.
I actually reached out to him yesterday. Haven't heard back yet, but wanted to have him on as a guest sometime.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to get in touch with him today. I was going to do that yesterday.
When did he go?
He had gone.
Because I thought that he goes in December.
He does for the big trip. But he did go on a quipping one just right before we left.
Recently.
Yeah, somewhere during the share. I think he was gone during the share-a-thon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it was. So, because he flew right before Helena hit.
Wow.
So, we need to hear back from him, too, soon on how that went, because I'm sure it went right really well. Well, we are, again, October the 9th. It's going to be a beautiful day for those who have been waiting on my weather report. That is just top-notch weather report here. I just went to my weather app, and I guess it would help if I left Florida. I'm still... Still has me in Fort Lauderdale and Miami down there. Let's see here. Let me get Litchfield's. I'm sure we'd appreciate that more. Looks like a high of 78 and a low of 48 today, but it's going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be beautiful all week, really. Sitting 78 tomorrow, 77 Friday, up to 83 on Saturday. Saturday looks just absolutely amazing. And so these 70s numbers I can get to. But next week we're going to start visiting the 60s during the day. And so that means we're getting down there. But hallelujah. I love this weather.
It's been chilly in the morning and evenings. Yeah. I don't know how low it's been.
You should be barefoot and in pajamas still.
Yeah.
You see how chilly it really is and your foot's waterlogged. I had sandals on, but they're so waterlogged now you couldn't wear them. But it is good. It's good. I'm going to get more focused when we get back from the break. We're going to talk about the fear of the Lord for a few minutes. And then, as I said, Brother Alonzo and Miss Deanna is going to come on. And we're going to talk some Puerto Rico. Amen. Well, let's do our second trivia of the morning. If I can find my sheet. I don't know what I did with it.
Is it behind the computer?
I found it. Wednesday question number two, sponsored by Higdon Land Surveying. What did Ahab do that the Lord considered abominable? What did Ahab do that the Lord considered abominable? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back on this beautiful day in the neighborhood. Again, this is October the 9th, 2024, and we are going to be discussing the fear of the Lord. Brother Steve Higgins got it correct on the trivia question. What did Ahab do that the Lord considered abominable? And he was following idols, 1 Kings 21:26. He said he remembered that one because we've recently done it. So I guess we...
The question?
Yeah. So he said it wasn't too long ago. So congratulations. Way to remember and take notes on that one. Sorry about that. But no, it's okay. So the fear of the Lord. And let's just look at some scripture here.
He had no fear of the Lord, that guy.
Yeah, he didn't. That was probably the problem. Do you have any scriptures pulled up that you were looking at specifically, Hannah, or?
I mean, of course, I do have a few pulled up, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
Because all other foolishness, sin, snares, like traps, come from not fearing the Lord.
Yeah. I'm going to read a few here. These are all from the ESV. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. Job 28:28, and he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to turn away from evil is understanding. Matthew 10:28, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am the Lord your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my... Sorry, that was not one of them. Ecclesiastes 12:13, the end of all the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Psalm 33:8, let all the earth fear the Lord. All the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. We could keep going. So are these scriptures telling us to fear the Lord, like in a terrifying way? I think to an extent they are. I think they are there to say, fear the Lord in honor and reverence, but also behold the goodness and the severity of our God.
Mm-hmm.
Our God is incredibly good and incredibly loving, but he's also incredibly just. And one day the earth will look on and see the terror of the Lord and his judgment and his wrath. And we're going to look one day upon Satan and we're going to say, is this really the man? Is this really the one that the whole nations were scared of? But then we're going to look at the Lord in honor and reverence. And I think it'll be like an Isaiah moment whenever Isaiah, who was a prophet of the Lord, Isaiah, who was, as far as we understand, not an evil dude whatsoever. But yet when he saw the Lord, he said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. There was an honor and a reverence and even a fear. And if people are falling down at angels' feet in fear of them, how much more would the Lord be fearful mm-hmm. to see? How much more? Because I don't even think it's in the same ball field.
Yeah. I think for the unbeliever, it's absolutely terrifying. Like, just completely, like, will be and should be even now. But for the believer, it is fearing God above anything else. Like, if there's anything that we're going to be scared to do, it would be to disappoint our Heavenly Father, because not just disappoint, but like sin against him, rebel against him, go against him, serve idols, do anything that would be an abomination to him, because he's the one that is superior, supreme.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's when like we get in error as believers, is when we start to fear man or fear, when we start to be more afraid of what other people are going to think of us, or if we don't do this thing, we're actually more afraid of that thing than we are the Lord, because in our mind, well, the Lord, he's going to be there. He loves me. He's going to be there to pick me back up. But at that point, I do think as believers, we have to realize, like what you're saying, is that the thing that we should fear the most is being on God's bad side. On making him angry, provoking him to anger, even as a believer, because we see with Israel how they provoked him to anger.
Yeah.
So much. And I mean, not just Israel, I mean, people. We see his judgment. But I don't think the Lord wants us to just live in terror. Like, he wants us to get to know his characteristics, his steadfast love, his holiness, his goodness, his power. You know, but I think that's what keeps us from getting off track, is also having that terrified of not being one of his.
Yeah, I think that with this. I mean, as I was saying, like as you were saying, and as the scripture does talk about too, there is a level of like unbelievers' fear of the Lord should be different than a believer's fear of the Lord. 100%. I agree with that premise that as an unbeliever, there should be a terror that's coming upon those who are not right with him. Like, but as a believer, ours does focus more and centering on reverence and fear of worship and honoring him with our lifestyle and honoring him with all the ways. But I do think even in that, there's a holy fear within us that we are God-fearing people, that we don't want to go against his way.
We want to test him. We don't want to push our limits.
But I think we have made a very, in the modern day church a lot, we have made a very weak God.
Mm-hmm.
And we've taken him out of the context of who he is. And there's a lot of things, and if the Lord wills, and I continue where I'm going, this Sunday morning I'm actually going to preach a sermon on the love of God. And that's where I'm probably heading towards. But what we've done is we've fashioned a definition of love that is perverted. And so that's how we associate with God, and we don't have the fear of the Lord anymore. And our love has been tainted by what the world says is love. So love in the world has become what? What's the number one word love is associated in the world today? Acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
That's what love's pushed around. We got to love our neighbor. And when we say we love our neighbor, what the world wants us to believe and the system of the world wants us to see as is love is acceptance. We just let them be who they are, and let's be who they are, and let's just move on with life. And love is condoning acceptance and just moving right along with the status quo. That's love. And that's what the world wants us to see. And that's kind of how we've taken that, because the enemy begins to infiltrate culture. And when he infiltrates culture, it's a byproduct that sneaks into the church. And then the church starts to reconcile with culture. And now what's happened is we have fashioned a God who is accepting of who we are. And now we have this whole movement of you just come as you are. You come as you are, but you never stay as you are, because the love of God will not let you stay in that sin, because that sin brings death. So the love of God is there to crush your sin. And in saying that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died because he what loved us, is saying that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that so we could have eternal life. But what does that eternal life encompass? Wholeness, health, conquering of sin. Romans 6, we're dead to sin. He so loved us that he sent his son to be crushed for us, that we don't have to be surrendered and bound to a sinful nature no longer, and we're not going to have the consequence of sin. He so loved that he conquered death, hell, and the grave. He so loved that he suffered on the earth. Why? So that we could have life and life more abundantly. And that is not to leave us in our sin. That's not to accept us for who we are and just let us be. That's the perverted view of the world. And so that's where I believe the fear of the Lord has come back to, is that the fear of the Lord has to be in a believer's life. And we have to understand, yes, Christ loves us, but he so loved us that he died to get us out of the mess that we're in, not for accepting the mess that we're in. And in return, we walk in the fear of the Lord because we understand his statutes and we understand his nature. But we also understand Romans when it tells us, behold the goodness and the severity of God. There is two sides. He's not bipolar. But the side of the Lord that you're on is contingent upon, do you walk as a disciple of Christ? Have you surrendered to him? Are you washed in the blood? Are you following him? Is Christ your example? And so these are, I think the love of God, the fear of the Lord has to grow, instead of like, it's not just I'm terrified, or it's not just, you know, if I step out of the line, he's going to spank me. It's that, no, I want to stand in reverence and awe, but that only happens when we see him in all of his fullness. And we have to get back to who the Lord really is.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord really is. And we've got to quit fashioning a long-haired hippie that just loves everybody, because that's not who he is.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be mean or derogatory, or saying he's not loving, because again, I'm Lord Wilm will preach a whole sermon on the love of the Lord, but he's also very angry with sinners.
Yeah.
And there is a price that is that sin demands.
I think the verse, I had screenshotted it too, about the fear of the Lord is to hate evil.
Mm-hmm.
Pride, arrogancy, the evil way, and the, I don't know what word the ESV uses, but froward mouth do I hate. Like, to hate what God hates and love what he loves. Because, like, I don't know, I know that we do it, and I'm so thankful for grace, but I also know, like, you know, what the song, I don't want to abuse his grace. Like, I don't want to abuse his grace and think, like, I can just love things that he hates and him be okay with it.
Because mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we think that. Like, now I do think we need to be careful in saying, like, every time we, you know, love something that he hates, we're not saved anymore and we have to keep getting saved over and over. But I don't know. I think sometimes we're too loose on, I know I've been too loose on that not hating what he hates, loving what he loves, and it's to hate those things.
Well, legalism and holiness don't always look a lot different, but the separating distinction is the motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Legalism is when I'm doing something to be saved or to stay saved. I'm doing something to earn it. Holiness is a response to who he is, and I'm walking and being transformed into his image. Holiness is about looking like the Father. Religion, legalism is about following a religion. And so a lot of times they may not look a whole lot different, but what's different is the heartbeat behind them.
Yeah.
And so if you're legalistic or holy, either way you want to look at it, religious or what, you're probably not going to be looking at pornography all the time. But one way may be you're just not watching or looking at it because you're afraid to go to hell or you have to follow a set of rules. Another way you could be not doing it, though, is a place for holiness where your Father hates it. And because the Holy Spirit there is in there, according to Romans 8, he's in there to transform me into the image of the Son. So legalism is about getting to heaven. Holiness is about looking like the Father and reflecting him in the earth. With my walk in the Lord, I don't really think about the concept of getting to heaven. Like, my walk with the Lord is centered around how much heaven can be brought to earth. And that is only done when we become a reflection of him into the earth, the conduit of who he is, the conduit of his grace and mercy. The fear of going to hell will produce a religion that tries to, your whole life, get you to a place of going to heaven. But a place of holiness is a place of, I want to look so like my Father that when they see me, I have become a city set on a hill. I have become a light set on a hill, that I'm reflecting who he is in the earth. It's not about pleasing him. I'm working so that others may know him. And so I think there's a lot of things about holiness and legalism that is encompassed around the fear of the Lord. But I'm not saying to people that we should just be so scared of hell that this is happening or whatever. I think we should be so enamored by the glory of God and see him for who he really is, that this thing is not about not sinning. This thing is about looking like the Father. And that sin will fall off. And we make our Christianity just solely about not sinning. But our Christianity is supposed to be Christ-like. And that's what Romans 8 says. We're not predestined to be conformed in the image of conquerors of sin. We're actually being called to be conformed in the image of Christ. Because I know a lot of people that are not committing the sins, you know, that we think about a lot. But I also know those people ain't holy. And I know those people are not following Jesus, but they're not sinful. There's a lot of Hindus, and there's a lot of Muslims, and there's atheists that are more moral than Christians, I know. Does that make them holy?
No, because they're still sinning in different ways.
Yeah.
There's no way to not sin and not... There's no way to not follow Jesus and not be sinning.
I agree. But the way we determine sin has been so perverted, and the way we determine holiness has been so corrupted, that if you follow the church's, a lot of times, method of holiness, then a lot of people are okay. They're the good old boys.
Yeah. And that's definitely religion.
Because I know, I mean, I've been around it to where, and I'm going to come back to the fear of the Lord, I would be in a church service with people who would shout the house down, the bobby pins go flying, the tongues are rolling, and then I've also seen those same people literally like cuss out their waitress after the service. Well, what is that? There's no fear of the Lord. There's no reverence. There's no honor. There's no real holiness. It was a show. It was that legalism that I'm following a system. But when you see him, it changes you as much on Tuesday night when nobody's around as it does on Sunday morning when everybody's around. Religion don't do that. Religion just, it doesn't really change your heart. He does. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, because now there's something deeper going on in me. And so I just think the fear of the Lord is something that has to come back to the house of the Lord. And this whole facade and system that we've built that gives permission to people to stay in sin, to stay in corruption, to stay in all these things, it's got to fall. And we've got to get back to where we really do walk in the presence of the Lord, and we walk in the fear of the Lord, and we walk in the glory of the Lord. And we stop just, well, I don't watch that. I'm all right. But do you walk in his presence? Do you walk in the fear? Do you walk in the reverence? Do you stay in worship? Do you have a prayer life? Like, are we honoring him with what we say? There's another scripture in Hebrews 12, verse 28. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. I think this is one of the reasons for me that the phraseology of Jesus is my homeboy gets under my skin so much, or just whenever we belittle him or try to make him too level with us. Like, it to me, that's not worshiping him with honor and reverence. It's not living a lifestyle to where everything comes back to honoring him and fearing him and reverence and all. Like, I guess the question has to become, do we stand in awe of God?
Mm-hmm.
Do we stand in awe of God? And
I think that's a big part of fear of the Lord.
And I just don't see no awe whenever Jesus is my homeboy, or, you know, he's my, like, I don't know. I can just see it sometimes, like, we're so, you used the word loose earlier, right? We're loose with it. Like, we're just like, you know, we're going to kind of go worship, and it's another morning, we're going to do church, or, hey, we're going to, I guess I'm bored, I'm going to turn on some worship music or something and just take it. I don't know. Like, there's this flippingness to us as the body of Christ, and I think it is because of the lack of the fear of the Lord. But I think some of it is because we're not manifesting the true Lord. We've manifested a system of religion. We've manifested a lie. We've manifested and showed people church services, but have we shown people the glory and the fear and the whole? Because Isaiah, who, for as far as we understood, had given his life to serve the Lord, even after that, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe fell in the temple, and he seen the glory of the Lord, he stood and said, "Woe is me."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's something that's very relevant and important to where we are at today. Is there a woe in me? Is there a standing in awe? Does the Lord still catch your breath when you worship? Is there a reverence? Is there a fear? Is whenever you're about to go and commit that sin, or whenever you're about to watch that, or you're saying that, or you're going somewhere you know you should not be going, or you're doing something, like, you know, it's even with, like, I'm even thinking as a pastor, how many times I've seen people make major life's decisions, and when you ask them, have they prayed about it? Yeah, I just haven't got no answer. I'm just gonna go ahead and do it. Or, yeah, I don't know if the Lord really wants me to marry that person, but They're really pretty, and I think I can change them. There's no fear of the Lord in that. There's no reverence in all of who He is. I mean, do we honor Him with every aspect of our life whenever we make a decision? Are you even bothering to pray about it and seeing where the Holy Spirit's going to lead you? And I think the fear of the Lord, I think this is what we see a lot in Proverbs and Psalms. The fear of the Lord is actually probably more practical than we'd ever understand. We probably ever even really understand either, in the sense of, am I following Him? Like, we have those spiritual moments in the sanctuary with Him where, at least I know I have, where I remember one morning I was scared to take the mic. Like, I felt like if I took the mic and tried to move us along in the service, like, I didn't know what was going to happen to me. Like, I was fearful a lightning bolt would strike me or something. I was being serious. Like, it's just, there was a holy moment there, and I was like, I can't touch this. There was a fear of the Lord. So there's those deeper moments. But also, you know, it's like, is there a reverence and an honor when He whispers in your ear to go right instead of left? Is there an honor and a reverence when He says, go have that conversation? Is there an honor and a reverence when He says, don't buy that? Because He knows. Like, He's not doing it to be oppressive or beat you into submission. What He's doing is He's trying to, the Lord is good in what He does. And He's trying to produce goodness and the best possible path for you. And so those moments that He's kind of whispering in my ear, don't buy that, don't do that, and I'm stubborn ahead enough to go ahead and do it, it's never ended well for me. It's never ended.
Yeah. I think, I mean, any time, even throughout time of worship at church, like, even if we're not feeling, see, that's one thing too, is like, we know in moments that are heavy glory, we physically feel the heavy glory, we can sense it, like it's more of like a red flag, like, don't get in the way of this. But I believe that that's the case all the time too, even when we don't feel that, even when, you know, we're just going to worship or we're whatever we're doing in word or deed or gathering together, like, there, He wants to take the lead and wants us to not just do our own thing. And it when we're going through the motions or we're just used to the way things are, it's easy to do that. But yeah, I think the practical stuff you're talking about is really, or I guess if we're going to simplify it, always letting Him lead us and asking Him before we just run ahead of Him in everything.
And that is not always easy to do.
It's not natural.
Yeah, it is not. It's, and I don't want to make it easy. Like, it is very practical, but there's a lot of times that stopping, like Dave Ramsey says this, before you like majorly buy something, like you're at the store and you ever been at the store and you go, I think I want that. And it's like $500 or something, $400. You could buy it, but it's not going to put you in a good place financially. I think what he says, and I could be corrected if I'm wrong, but I think what he says is wait 24 hours before you buy it. And most of the time you talk yourself out of it. It's that impulsiveness to people. And I'm thinking that concept, and I'm thinking, you know, what if we did that with just life in general? Like, I know there's some decisions we have to make quickly. Like, you know, if we're driving to McDonald's, we have to decide which way to go. But what if in life we slow down and take time to hear from the Lord? Like, if we can take 24 hours to think about buying the computer or game station or the grill. Be careful, I love my grill.
I'm just thinking of something that's about that much money.
And so, but you know, if we can take 24 hours to think about that, we should be able to take 24 hours and decide, hey, am I going to marry that person? I need to pray about that. Like, or am I going to date that person? Even, you know, I've seen people who, and again, just because something appears to be good does not mean it's always godly. So even the apparently good things, we need to slow down and pray about. We need to pray about it. And that's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is beginning of all wisdom. And the wisdom is, how do I apply the knowledge and how do I walk out this life? And so it's not always easy, though. It's sometimes very inconvenient and you feel like you're putting things off that's very important. But I would rather get it right than get it wrong than have to do it again. So we're going to take a break. We're going to be back here with Brother Alonzo and Miss Deanna in just a minute here on the Box 2 Radio Network. This beautiful morning, Miss Deanna and Brother Alonzo is in the room. So you guys are gearing back up. You'll be moving back down to Puerto Rico November. Is that correct?
Yeah, the beginning of November. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Good to be here.
It's November. It's just a few weeks now.
Yes, we're getting ready here to be able to leave.
Yeah. How's Michaela doing down there?
She's doing wonderful. And actually, her mom is with her right now.
Okay. Miss Angela's down there.
Yeah,
excellent.
And they're just discipling the people and doing God's work there. And it's exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like I was telling you, my wife loved Puerto Rico. So she really did love it. I said, that's it. Let's go.
You are welcome.
There is great opportunities to serve there.
Yes. We have the Mission Lighthouse.
Oh, the Mission Lighthouse. And it's a beautiful, it's a nice little house.
Yeah.
I hate the rooster.
Yeah,
because there's not really like windows per se. They're just like little screens. Uh-huh. And that rooster, it didn't crow with the morning. It crowed with the minutes. So every minute it was like crow, 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 crow. And so I told Joe one night, I said, I think I might be having fried chicken soon.
And iguanas, a lot of iguanas.
Yeah. Those iguanas are cool.
Yeah, they're delicious.
They're huge ones.
They're good to eat. But they don't like to eat people from Puerto Rico.
Eliza was sitting on the fort, and she was just sitting there, and then a iguana just started walking towards her, and it didn't stop. It just kept walking, and she goes, what do I do? What do I do? And so she was starting to get a little scared. But I do love how they look like they almost look like they're posing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, somebody else taking a picture of me. Let me flash my pose here.
Yeah.
But we did see one that was massive walking below the fort. We walked around down the bottom too.
I saw the picture somewhere. Beautiful iguana. Huge
yes,
one.
It was. So tell us a little bit about what you guys are hoping to do when you get back down there.
Okay, especially evangelization.
Reaching out people, yeah.
Yes, raise more people for Jesus Christ. Especially in our communities, a lot of people, elders, people, they are alone in their houses. In big need, we want to continue working in the community, visiting people in their houses, pray for them, preach the gospel, invite to the church, help in their needs, in that is possible, like food or sometimes clean their houses because they are elders and
they're not able to do so.
It's a big problem in Puerto Rico. A lot of people, they are alone and they are very old and their family are in here in New York or in other places and they are alone all day. This is normal.
We have one testimony of one man that the community leader told us to visit him. So we went to visit him and he just came part of our church family. And he just rejoiced so much to come because he said, I don't have anybody to talk the whole week.
Yeah.
And he got baptized. He accepted the Lord and he called us sometimes to see how we are. And he said that he wanted to celebrate his 90th birthday with us in January. So we said, we're going to do a party for you, and we're going to be there for your birthday. So aww, we're looking forward for that.
Yeah. Well, I know even there, one of the things they need help with a lot, and this is what we helped, because people think that when a hurricane hits – Mm-hmm. Or even like Mayfield with the tornado in our state of Kentucky. They're talking about that was years ago and still rebuilding.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen overnight.
No. Nope.
And there's still a lot of people that has damage, or as Emmanuel, we went in there and a lot of that was not cleaning, but some of that was hurricane damage. And, yeah. and so like there's still a lot of that for people to be done. And of course, Puerto Rico gets hit by hurricanes, not often, but at least once a year, usually.
Yeah,
they have
actually,
one or two.
This man that I'm talking about, that he accepted the Lord, he didn't know the Lord, and he accepted the Lord. We got to baptize him. His house gets, every time it rains, it gets water, and all his kitchen gets a lot of water. So when we know that it's raining a lot, we go there and we help him out. But I mean, his roof needs some type of ceiling. They said they are gonna move him, but they do not move him, and it's dangerous because he can fall, sleep with the water, and I mean, it's a big situation. And like him, many people, many old people dealing with water inside the roof, and that's the way they live.
Yeah.
The mission lighthouse and the church is very close to a small river, and the community in where we are working in Ingenio, this is the rivers are around river, and this is the problem. And when the hurricanes coming
or a lot of rain,
yes, it's flooding.
Yeah,
flooding. It's normal. It's and every 5 years or every, it's normal, a big flood.
Yeah. I remember that river. We prayed for some people by that river, and that's where the iguanas they peed on us as we was praying. Like, well, not on us, but it was right beside us. You all remember that?
Yeah. I remember that. Huge iguana.
And it just went to the bathroom, right? We kept praying, though. We kept praying. We didn't let it deter us.
Now, the heart that God has given us for Puerto Rico is the same thing that Jesus did. Just go out and reach people, meet the needs, and let them know that there is a Savior that can meet their spiritual needs. And there is a church family that can help them out with their physical needs, too.
Yeah.
And it's been wonderful. We love the work in the community. We go every day. We just walk. We pray. God just put people in. We don't knock doors. We do walk and pray. God just put people in our way that we can talk to. And we just...
Yeah. And the Lord really does open up a whole lot of doors.
Like, yeah.
Go ahead.
Remember the caserío?
Absolutely.
When you play basketball?
Absolutely.
This is other area. We are working with the children and youth in the communities. In the caseríos is the name of places that poor people, they live in there. It's a government development.
Yeah.
Government housing.
Mm-hmm. Government
apartments.
Apartments.
And hundreds of people live in that duplex. Uh-huh. And
yes, and we work with the youth, the children. We go there and every week we have evangelization, play with them.
We have developed a relationship with them, going every week, and the times that we've been there, we always go there. So
yeah,
I would like this year to maybe get involved in their schoolwork, after schoolwork.
That'd be great.
Just to connect more with them and the parents, and to see what opportunity God has.
Now, the guy that I met there, he was the property manager, correct? He managed the whole property. And that's the one that asked me. He said, he came up to me, he said, can you move your whole church down here? Because he says, we need what you all are doing. I mean, that was his words to us. And those kids are, you know, I know that there was one time we were playing ball with them and we preached the gospel between games. Really, it was, we wanted to preach the gospel and we had to catch our breath, me and Joe. And so, but I think we had about 9 kids
that gave
their heart to Jesus in the middle of a basketball game. And so the Lord just opens doors down there in amazing ways. And we barely got out of there because I think we had to go to, was either going to a church that night or is that the nursing home?
Yeah, I don't remember, but we were kind of very busy.
But everybody was pulling Alonzo in because mm-hmm. they're hungry to talk. And, you know, we had the opportunity to just keep stopping in on houses. And they really are hungry in that whole complex right there.
Yeah, and there, that complex has also a group of young people that they are drug dealers and they are into drugs. And you can smell the marijuana and you can see them around. It's a great opportunity to reach out to them too.
Yes.
God has shown us that we need to go to the least of the least, the ones that nobody believe that a miracle can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are the ones that God is gonna raise up and
yeah.
And
yes,
just
do something
in
the life. Drugs is a lot of drugs in Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people are left in idleness a lot of times too,
mm-hmm.
and idle hands produce sin, and so I think that activating the church down there, that was probably the number one thing that I seen is just, even though there was churches everywhere, iglesias everywhere, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
There was not a lot of activity from the church that I saw, mm-hmm. like. I mean, you guys were doing something, and there was that one church that was having a church service on a Wednesday night outside like a house or something
yeah.
on the street. But besides that, you didn't see a lot of the church presence in the community. And so there's that activation that needs to be done. And that's what I loved seeing out of you guys, where you all were just constantly going. And you've seen – I was getting to see firsthand the favor that you guys had, the respect and honor of the community that you guys had. You all were walking up to drug dealers and just getting right in their business. And yet they loved you all. And
yeah, I remember one woman that I'm praying for because if that woman gets saved and you just, I don't remember her name, but just pray for her. She's the one that deals the drug and moves the things in a place there. And if she get saved, oh my goodness, she's gonna impact many, and I'm praying for her. This time I'm gonna try to invite her to eat out with me,
yeah,
and see what God does. I'm expecting some God to do something with that woman. And one time I went there and she told me, do you know that for you to come here you need to pray a lot? And I say yes, but so she was kind of threatening me, but I know who is with me, and I was very sure that God wanted us there. So
yeah, I got to experience some of that firsthand. Like, we're going where? Are you sure? And so, but it is astounding and pretty amazing to see just the doors that are open down there, mm-hmm. And whenever I say Alonzo was being pulled in 10 different directions, even in that low-income housing complex, he was. Because people's hungry to be ministered to. People's wanting to talk. There was that lady that told us this whole crazy story that we were trying to keep up with, yet she needed freedom. She needed deliverance. She needed to be prayed for. And God just kept opening those doors. And I remembered that one guy remember we were working on Emmanuel's house and we decided to go get the drinks. And there was a guy sitting in his car and the Lord just opened up this awesome conversation. And
yeah.
When he was driving away, he was pretty much in tears. He was trying to hold it back. You could yeah. tell, but you know, the Lord was really working on his heart.
Yeah.
And the openness and the receptivity and just what God was doing is amazing down there.
Yeah, just putting God's love in people is amazing. Like, for example, one couple, the man was very, very sick. He did not have legs, and we were keeping visiting them and loving on them and praying for them. He did accept the Lord, and he died. And the day he died, the wife called us to let us know that he had passed away. So that means a lot. I mean, who in the world? I mean, we're mm-hmm. strangers for her.
Yeah,
but she just said that because you care so much about him, I just call you to let you know that he passed away.
Wow.
And other area, the Lord opened doors. There is in the Golden Tower, remember?
I do.
The Golden Tower in this big building.
There is a lot of people
are living there, elders, people. And the Lord opened this door for us for every week we can go there. We worship the Lord. Yes, worship.
Study worship the Bible.
Invite them to come and they listen the word of God. We can pray for them and we can go to the apartment. They are living in apartments, and each apartment is a story.
It's a story and a situation.
Wow.
Each one has their own.
People sick. People in big depression. People. Wow. If you are with the blessing of God, you can do. You can do a lot of good things in the name of Jesus in this community.
So when people hear this, how can they help? What can we do to help you guys in your mission down there?
Number one, praying. This is number one because all the foundation is God. In other words, God is the number one.
Mm-hmm.
We need praying, spiritual foundation, praying for us. And we are happy if some people of the church, Bethel, can go there.
No, Bethel. If
other Christians coming.
Come and serve.
We
would love to receive teams and just
because
do some work
this
there.
This is wonderful. It's encourage a lot of people.
We can do, like, when the team comes, we do spiritual work, but also we do physical. We meet the needs of people, like maybe some elderly people. Like, when the team came, they did painting, we did cleaning, we did that type of thing, and there is many more people that have needs. So maybe we can fix Don Rafael's roof so when it rains, it doesn't pour down. So also there are resources needed. You know, as we go along, there are needs that God show us that people has, and we need resources like to fix his roof, for example,
mm-hmm.
to put something to cover the roof so that. Things like that.
And pray for, maybe we can start something like, for example, starting with one in the week, invite people in need to take a lunch.
To have
for
a
example,
meal.
In the Mission Lighthouse
mm-hmm.
or in the church, a meal, and they spend the day with us, several hours, they lunch, they...
We can fellowship with them because they need company. They need uh-huh. somebody who listens to them.
Yeah.
So we're thinking maybe once a week we will have a gathering and just meet the need that they have of being with somebody.
Invite somebody for
cutting their hair.
Uh-huh, something like that.
Taking care of, yeah.
We can put a movie. Christian movie.
And also, make a meal. And there is people that cannot move. The meal has to go to their homes. We are working very close with one of the community leaders. And she's the one who gave us the list. And say, this is the people I need you to visit. And this is the people who need help. Like Manuel needs Pampers, for example. And you'll find a lot of needs along mm-hmm. the way when you go to the houses
mm-hmm.
and visit them.
I know that we're looking at a possible trip earlier in the year, like a week trip or something like that. But me and you all are also talking about me coming down a couple more times and just kind of helping out a few days, like smaller trips, like two or three.
Yeah, we would love to also have your mentorship and, this is a place where you give so much that you sometimes don't receive much.
Absolutely.
So we need the receiving.
But that may be another opportunity for somebody who's saying, I can't come a week. But if I'm only going down there for 2 or 3 days, there's still an opportunity maybe just to – it's not a horrible flight. I think it's like 5 hours in the air. Usually you have to get in a connecting flight in the lane or something like that and fly down there. But it's not an international flight, so you don't have to have a passport or nothing like that. It's a domestic one.
You can go with
it. It's not bad. It's not bad at all. So there's a lot of avenues for people to serve, but also, you know, maybe you're saying I'll never be able to get down there. But you can't help. As Brother Alonzo said, you can be praying. Financially, can I help sow into what God's doing there? Partner with them, maybe even on a monthly basis. Maybe saying I'll partner with you $25 a month and send it down. That can go a long ways. Just anything helps. As Alonzo said, though, prayer is the biggest thing. Just praying for God to continue to open doors. And I know the Lord's doing amazing things down there, and He's going to continue to do amazing things. And I got to see it firsthand for a week, and They're going to be down there for roughly about 6 months and then come back for a little bit. And you all have to go take care of some personal things. I know that. But, you know, it's the Lord's going to open a lot more doors. And we're just praying into how can we as a church reach Puerto Rico more. And so I just really do believe God's opening some incredible doors in here. And I kind of wanted you all to come in and just share this morning about what He has been doing. And anticipating what He's about to do
when
you go back.
We're expecting more.
Yes.
Expecting more.
Well, you may my wife. She was kind of hesitant at first but I think she may go down there with me one time on a mission trip now.
Amen. And the reason we're expecting more is because we're seeking the Lord. I mean,
absolutely.
We are in prayer, reaching God, just to worship Him and just let Him take care of the community and the needs there, and guide us. And I mean, it's amazing. We have awesome prayer times there, and that we believe have made the difference in the communities.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We invite people to pray every Tuesday and Thursday, 4 o'clock. We open the church for pray and worship God.
You know, it'd be cool. I just come to my mind, like, you all do have that there. Do y'all was there internet capability in the church?
Internet, yeah.
It'd be cool to like be able to do like a FaceTime prayer meeting. Like so we could have a prayer meeting here at the same time y'all are having it there, and we can FaceTime be able to interact. That would be pretty cool. That just kinda came to me. I think that kind of stuff could work
That'd
out. Technology's a good thing sometimes.
Yep.
And so it's not the same as being there, but it would be very good, I think. Very beneficial to be able to be a part of that prayer meeting. And then, and there was precious people in that church.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's precious people down there. What was the woman's name? Forgive me, I forgot. I think it's Marina, but I feel like it's wrong.
The one that you painted?
Is that right?
Marina.
Marina. And I know, like, her, we painted her house, and she looked at me, and she goes, I never see pastor work before.
yeah.
She said, preachers usually sit back.
Yeah.
And so now, in when working, I had my tank top on that day, and I was thinking, my gosh, that Puerto Rico camera adds a lot of weight. but it wasn't just, we went in there to paint.
Yeah.
But then we ended up realizing her refrigerator was broke.
Cleaning and...
And we had to fix... You worked on a refrigerator. And
with Brother Joe.
Yeah.
We just deep clean the refrigerator.
We bring her to the hospital because she was sick, and for years she never... She can't go to the hospital
She needed a surgery.
Because she needed a surgery, and we pray and we start to help her, and we bring her to the hospital and... for appointments, and she received the surgery, and now she's
so
very happy because no more this problem.
It was a very bad problem, so.
And now no more blood, no more, and she said, "Wow, thank you, Lord."
Amen.
Yes.
Well, here's what I want to do. I want to pray for you all before we get off, and if you are interested in helping them. In any way, capacity, you can call the station or text me, and I'll get you the right method of delivery for that help. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Puerto Rico. We thank you for this couple that are willing to surrender their life and surrender their convenience and comfortableness to go down there and serve in some incredible capacities. Lord, we ask you for your blessings. We ask you for your spirit to lead, draw, and direct. Lord, we just ask you, Father, that doors would continue to be open, that even more places would be open. But also, God, I just pray the Church of Puerto Rico activates and they surround and get involved in what Brother Lonzo and Miss Deanna is doing, God, that it would not just be them too, that you would begin to raise up an army, God, that they would have teams that they'd be able to send out, not just American teams coming down there or our teams, but teams down there that's ready to be activated and ready to go and ready to do. And Father, we just ask you to prepare the hearts of people there. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Well, we love everybody. I apologize for the little bit of chaos in the broadcast this morning, I feel like. But the Lord was good. Hannah, thank you so much for stepping up big that first hour.
Hey, I prepared a little more this morning, so God knew why.
Absolutely. So it's good. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on the Box 2 Radio Network.